74 Bantu refugees from Somalia this week ended a decade-long journey to escape civil war and ethnic violence. They arrived in various U.S. cities to begin new lives. They are the first of nearly 12,000 Somali Bantus that the U.S. will resettle over the next 3 years. Unlike most refugees to America, they do not have family already here. The Somali Bantu are rural farmers, the descendants of slaves, with virtually no exposure to American culture. One family arrived yesterday in Denver, from where NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
50-year-old Jelly Mahando, his wife and three children, spent 13 years in a squalid refugee camp in Kenya. Now, after 3 days of exhausting travel, their first time on a plane, the family is dragging themselves with a crowd of passengers into Denver Airport's arrival hall. A church volunteer, Jean Furman, is the first to flag them.
Hello.
Hello.
Adam, I think we need you.
Adam, a Somali immigrant here, moves in to translate, though no one says much at first. Jean hands out small gifts, stars and stripes stuffed teddy bears for the young children. The 2-year-old boy shrieks in fear at the bear. That makes everyone laugh. Jean gives a red USA sweatshirt to the 15-year-old son, Mohammed. Most of the Somali Bantus are illiterate, but Jean is pleased to learn that Mohammed has had some schooling in the refugee camp.
How far did you get? What grade? What grade in school?
What grade? I was grade 6.
Wonderful. Oh, that's going to be so good.
The luggage comes, 2 plastic zip-up bags with the family's entire worldly possessions stuffed into them. All are loaded into various cars and head toward the family's new home. Integrating the Somali Bantu as they arrive across the country poses an enormous challenge for resettlement agencies. Sasha Verbellis of Ecumenical Refugee Services, or ERS, is scouting jobs for the Bantu in Denver. She has hopes of finding something they're familiar with, agriculture ideally, or maybe teaching African dance. But many of the refugees don't speak English, and finding jobs at all will be difficult in a lousy economy. In fact, some Somali Bantu were to be resettled in Holyoke, Massachusetts, but last fall, the economically depressed town voted not to allow them.
Okay, you guys, come in and relax.
ERS caseworker Paul Wilner leads the Mahando family into their bright 3-bedroom apartment. It's rented through federal aid and furnished through church donations. There's even a blue tablecloth with 5 matching napkins laid out on the dining table, a plastic 2-story dollhouse for the 5-year-old girl, and food in the refrigerator.
This you need to make get hot on the stove. But this is just chicken and rice and broth.
15-year-old Mohammed seems familiar with most of the food, but he and his father stand baffled at the microwave. Paul and Jean warn the family not to put anything metal in the microwave. They explain the shower with its hot and cold water, the buzzer that opens the downstairs door, and how to call 911. There are too many things to explain in one day, and the family is desperate for sleep. Sprawled on a chair, Jelly Mahando was asked about his first impressions, and there has been one exciting moment. It came during a stop at a 7-Eleven on the way from the airport. Many years ago, before I was a refugee, he says, I used to farm. I worked on a tractor to dig and plant. And outside this 7-Eleven, he says, I saw a tractor. Then inside, I saw corn and other vegetables. Amid an overwhelming jumble of strange new things, Mahando says his heart leaped at the sight of something familiar. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Denver.